Amen. Great to see you as usual. So I want to give you good news this morning. We were talking about Easter this last couple of weeks. We're talking about resurrection. You know, what was really burning my heart this last couple of weeks is that we're no longer slaves. And you maybe even thinking of that song with Bethel sang, No Longer Slaves. But it was just bigger than that. It was just like, no longer slaves. If we're in Christ, we're no longer slaves to absolutely anything. Absolutely anything. And so this morning, I want to spend just a few moments thinking about, maybe start off talking about slavery just in general, in just the world, just to give you some statistics on that, because I think we'll just put things in perspective, and then spiritual slavery and how we can get enslaved in things, even as Christians. And if we're not Christians, then we're definitely slaves to sin and how God wants to break us free from that. We're watching just a couple of weeks, or maybe it was last week, me and some of the guys were watching William Wilberforce called The Amazing Grace movie, which I hadn't seen. It's been out for years. But it's this story about him way back, I think the late 1800s, and he's been fighting all of his life for this one thing, for the abolition of slavery. He wants to see slavery wiped out. At that point in time, the British Empire controlled much of the world, much of the known world. It was bringing in all these goods from the West Indies, from the Caribbean, from India, from Africa. But what it was doing was to achieve all of those things that were used in slavery. It was taking men and women from different parts of the world and enslaving them, giving them no choice, taking away their rights, taking away their purpose, taking away their destiny, and just putting them to work for their own benefits, for their own purposes. And so they did this for a lifetime. They did this for generations. They did it for absolute generations upon generations. And then William decides that enough is enough. And God starts to burn this dream in his heart. But you know, if you've ever seen this movie, and I think it stands into life itself as well, it took him years upon years upon years to abolish this thing. It took him years upon years upon years to get rid of this thing because it had such deep roots. And in our hearts and lives, if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can still be slaves to things, which should not be the case. And I believe this morning God is here to break those chains. We're going to get to that in just a few moments' time. I believe that the Lord wants to remind us this morning through Scripture just how dead we are to sin and how dead we should be. And in fact, instead of being slaves, we're now servants of Christ. We're now free men and women. And God wants to remind us of that this morning. And so I'm thinking about slavery. I looked it up. There's a Christian organization, and they said they're called A21. They say currently at the moment in the known world, there's 27 million people in slavery today. There is more people in slavery today than at any other time in history. Isn't that unbelievable? Imagine William Wilberforce in his grave. He'd be rolling at this moment when he's in glory with Jesus. But he would be just thinking, what's going on after all those years that I strived to see slavery abolished? And it's still worse than ever. They say that every 30 seconds in the world, someone is being entrenched into slavery. Someone is being like kind of a sneak attack being brought into it. Someone is being persuaded through maybe the promise of work in a foreign country, and then before you know it, they are human trafficked. They're taken over. I mean, you can check it all out, but even back home, I think there was a big case in England at this time where there was families upon families that were enslaving people from the local community, just getting them trapped into things, giving them drink and drugs, and then saying, well, you couldn't go back to your family, beating them up and saying, well, you couldn't go back. And so slavery today is as much active as it was at any point in time in history. But God's saying this morning there's an answer to slavery, but not only physical slavery, but slavery in our hearts and in our lives. And so this morning I want us to think about that. Every 30 seconds someone's being physically enslaved. They say that only 1 to 2% are being rescued. 1 to 2%. 1 to 2% are only ever getting rescued. The good news is this morning, that wherever we are, no matter if we're in a physical prison or if we're in physical slavery, God is 100% at rescuing. If we call on him, he is 100% at rescuing. But we need to carry the news. We need to know the goodness of the news, and we need to share the news this morning. So I want us to think about that. When you're a slave, you're robbed of this. When you're a slave, you're robbed of life. You have no life of yourself. When you're a slave, whether it be as a Christian and you're enslaved to something, you just can't get broken free from it and you just can't get a breakthrough, or physically if you're just slave to something, you just think of it, you have no life. You've just no life. You think of the life of the slave, they just have no life. Their purpose is not their own. They get up and they're there to achieve something for somebody else. They have no value. They have no expectations. They have no purpose, because what's the point of having purpose in life? Because I have no life. You think of it for a moment, they have no status. They have absolutely no status because they have no rights. So in the slave world, it doesn't matter if you live or die, because we'll get another one. And maybe we'll find one better than you. They have no status. Their status is this: you work for me. You do what you're told. You do whatever I tell you to do. You do not have a mind and will of your own. They have no security, because they don't enjoy homes like maybe we do. They have no security. They don't know where their safe place is because the people that they're with that are keeping them captives, they think they're safe to a certain point, but they know in their heart of hearts there's no security there. They have no wealth and they have no need for wealth, and any wealth that they would gain, it's taken from them. And I guess the worst thing of the whole lot is they have no choice. They just have no choice. And so this morning, I want us to think just of what's happening in the world, just to give us a bigger picture. As Andrew said, he had to go to Mozambique for the Lord to reveal things in our hearts. And sometimes in Northern Ireland, and sometimes in our own culture, we can get very self-focused and forget about what's really going on there. I think this morning, if we remind ourselves of the truth of slavery, it will remind ourselves of the truth of freedom, because we have a freedom in Christ. We have a freedom in Christ, but not only a freedom in Christ, we have a freedom in this world where we are not slaves. And that is incredible. And so this morning, the life of a slave is terrible. I guess there's no worse form. If you're a slave, then your life is full of fear. Your life is full of fear. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, your life should not be full of fear, because the price has been paid in full. You are free from that. God has set you free from fear. And if you have that this morning, then we're going to pray and believe that the Lord is going to touch that. If you're a slave, your life is full of worries. And whether that's a physical thing or a spiritual thing, but you know what it's like when there's worry in your life. You worry because you're worrying, and you're worrying because you're not worrying, and you're just worrying, 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 and everything's a problem. Everything's an issue, and you're not sure what the way out is. You own nothing yourself, and you don't seem to have any rights to anything. You feel totally bound. And I guess if we can remember this morning, if you're saved, if you can remember back to whenever you weren't saved, you know that your life was not your own. You know that just no matter what you did, just you felt a heaviness. You felt an entrapment. You felt that you were bound. And the good news is, when Christ came into our hearts, he set us free. The chains were broken. And so this morning, I'm encouraging us as either non-Christians or Christians to know this, that Christ is here this morning and he wants to truly set us free. He doesn't want any kind of forms of slavery in our lives. And we're going to think about those in just a moment. But he doesn't want us to have any forms like that in our lives, because anything that enslaves you is trying to kill you. Anything that enslaves you is trying to rob you of the life that Christ has promised you. Anything that enslaves you, anything that is holding you back from what God wants to do in your heart and life. And as a Christian, there is no place for slavery in our lives, because we are free, and free indeed with God. God wants to free us, but he also wants to redeem us. I love the story. We're going to read the verse in a few moments' time about the Israelites back in Egypt. But they were back in Egypt, and they're in this captivity, and they've no way out. They are slaves. They are God's children, but they are slaves. They just have no mind and will of their own. All they can do is do whatever the guys are telling them to do. Their instructors, their boss. They have no way out of this. And then suddenly Moses comes, and he sets them free. He brings them out. But not only does he bring them out, but God starts to cleanse them from the inside out. He does a complete work. And so this morning, God wants to remind you this morning, not only did he set you free from the power of sin and death on the outside in a sense, but he also wants to work with you on the inside to completely clean up our lives and to completely set us free in our lives. You know, God is not here to say, I've saved you, and keep on going the way that you can, the best that you can. But he's here this morning to say this: I've saved you, I've set you free, and I want to continuously set you free. The Bible uses a word called sanctification. He wants to continuously set us free, transform us. And so if you're here this morning and you're feeling like, I still need more transformation, that's okay, because that's what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. Slaves essentially have no rights and could have been killed at any point in time. This is the world of slavery. It's an awful life. It's a life that we do not want to be entrapped in. And as Christians, we do not want to be. Do you know this? Everyone who doesn't follow God really is a slave, is already a slave. The Bible says this in John 8:34, if Derek, you want to put it up. It says, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. God just reminds us of this. I mean, we're either servants of him, or the Bible just sometimes describes it as servants of or slaves to God, and God's a good master, so that's a good thing, or we're slaves to sin. But God said, I have come to set you free, and I have defeated sin, so you don't have to be a slave anymore. But the Bible makes it really clear. It says, and most assuredly, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And so this morning, when we commit sin, we're actually going back into slavery. When we commit sins as Christians, we're actually going back into that old lifestyle. We're actually picking up chains and we're almost putting them back on ourselves. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We're entrapping ourselves. We're becoming slaves again. And Jesus has paid far too high a price for us to become slaves again. And so this morning, we're going to make sure and remind ourselves, we're going to set ourselves free again. We're going to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And through his word and through his power, God is going to remind us that we are free and free indeed. We do not want to be slaves any longer. Here's the problem. If slaves to sin, then we're already dead. We know the verse. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so if we're kind of in sin and we're in sin at the moment, or we're kind of doing sin sometimes, we're doing things that we know that we shouldn't, here's what it says. The wages of sin is death. I mean, the only good thing is that we don't get paid when we do the job. Because if sin was a job, I'm thankful that we don't get paid straight away, because it would be instant death. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's complete opposite ends, complete transformation. And so God is saying this morning, you're saved. Do not become a slave any longer. You're saved. Do not be a slave any longer. If you are a slave, become saved and become a son, so that you're no longer a slave any longer. God is here this morning, and he is looking to set us free in every single area of our lives. Slavery surely is the worst form of life. You know, if you're here this morning and you're feeling worthless, then you know there's a form of slavery in our lives, because that's how a slave feels. It's not how a son feels. If you're here this morning and you're just feeling worthless, then you know there's some form of this kind of a chain, or there's some kind of a tie, or there's some kind of hold in your life that we need to break in Jesus' name. And it may be just a mindset. It may be something bigger than that, but we need to break it this morning, because if you are free, then you are a son. You are not a slave. And if you're a son, then you know that you're worth something, because your father tells you so. If you're here this morning and you are a son or you are a daughter, then your father says this: you are worthy and you are worth something to me. You are valuable. And so if we feel worthless this morning, that is something that we need to address. If we're here this morning and we feel replaceable, then we need to know this morning that that is not what God has set us free from. God has set us free to be unique, to let us know that there's nobody like us in a sense, because God spent time on us. He created us. He made us unique. And so if we're feeling worthless and we're feeling replaceable, then we're feeling like a slave instead of feeling like a son. We're acting and we're living like a slave instead of acting and living like a son or a daughter. If we're here this morning and sometimes we feel like, I just have no life. I feel like I've just no prospects. I feel like I've just no life. I've just got nothing that's going on. Then we need to be careful, because we're starting to think like the old men and women instead of knowing who we are in Christ at this moment. We are free men and women. We are sons and daughters. There's times in life where you can feel like, wow, there's just no life for me. There's just no hope for me. If we're here this morning and sometimes we question our destiny and our future, then we got to be careful that we're not living as slaves instead of living as sons and daughters, because God has set us free this morning. In freedom, you live in a hope that you dreamt of as a slave. You know, I think to myself just the lifestyle of a slave, and I think of just the captivity, and I think about how they've just been suppressed and just pushed down for so long. I'm not sure you even dream of freedom any longer. I'm not sure you even dream or even dare to dream of freedom any longer, because you know there's no way out of this. But if it does come, what a revelation. What a transformation. What a turnaround in their situations. And I think this morning it is good for us to remind ourselves of the position that we were in before Christ. So when we've come into Christ now, we know where we've come from. Because God has totally transformed us. And we will say, I will not go back there at any cost, because I knew at one stage I was bound, but now I am free in Jesus' name. I want us to read Romans 6:6. It says this: for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. I mean, this is good news this morning. Our old self was crucified with Christ, so that the body that used to rule us, that sin came from, has now been done away with. It has been defeated. It has been done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. This morning, God is saying we are no longer slaves to sin. You no longer have to think those ways. You no longer have to act those ways. You no longer have to do those things. There is liberty. There is freedom. And here's the essential thing. Now, if we died with Christ, which we did, if we've asked Jesus into our heart, then here's what we must do. We must believe. We believe that we will also live with him. See, our whole faith is based on belief. Our whole faith is based on believing in a God that we don't see. But if we believe in him, it sets us free. If we continuously believe in him, if we continue to believe in him, it continues to set us free this morning. And so it's only when we start to believe that we're slaves that we become slaves. But if we believe that we're sons and daughters, then we continuously become sons and daughters. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. Because if we know this, if we have died with Christ, then this is true. We are no longer slaves to sin. Guys, this morning it's so important to know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That is good news this morning. Does anybody agree with that? That is good news this morning. And we must believe. You know, the answer to slavery is the Son. He is the answer. He is the answer to anyone entrapped in their lives, to anyone that's struggling in their lives. Jesus really is the answer. To anyone that we're meeting, to anyone that we come across, Jesus really is the answer. How can we be Jesus to them? How can we reveal what Jesus has done in our hearts and lives? But you know, the thing that sometimes traps us, the thing that sometimes holds us back is that I don't feel worthy enough. We're picking up the slave reins again. We're listening to the old master instead of recognizing who Jesus is. I don't share with him or her because I don't feel qualified enough. We're starting to think like slaves again instead of sons and daughters. Instead of sons and daughters. You know, sometimes what holds us back is that, you know, I was bad yesterday. You know, so I'm not going to share today. I was bad yesterday. I mean, that's what the slave thinks like. But you know what the son says? Repentance, forgiveness. I know that I've turned to my father. He will forgive me. I know if I come to my father. I mean, who doesn't love the story of the prodigal son? It says when he came to his senses, his father couldn't wait. His father could not wait. He came back with a sorry letter. He came back thinking, I'll say this, I'll say that. I'll just be a servant. And his father said, no, son, come here. I want to hug you. I want to love you. God needs us to know it again and again and again. You are a son and a daughter, because when you're a son and a daughter, you'll do completely different things than you would when you're a slave. You see, when you're a slave, you just act like a slave. You feel like you're always bound. You feel like you're always trapped. You feel like you're always looking over your shoulder. You feel like someone's going to get you. Even if you feel free, you feel like someone's going to put you back again. Someone's going to derail you. Something's going to come against you. And then somebody says something. You're like, oh, I could never be this Christian. It's too hard. I was deceiving myself. I was believing a lie. But when you're a son or a daughter, there's just no doubt. I know who my dad is. I know who he is. I know that he knows me. I know him. And I am a son. I am a daughter. I believe this is so important this morning. Resurrection hope. I've had this burden in my heart. I'm going to read a verse in just a moment. But I've had this burden in my heart just this last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, just from the Easter and before that. Just this idea of resurrection hope. Resurrection hope. And this is what lives inside of our hearts, is that the cross was amazing. The cross was amazing. But it had to come to the third day when Jesus was resurrected to complete the whole thing, to prove the whole thing. And I love this morning because God tells us that if we are in him, then he is in us. So therefore, resurrection hope lives inside of us. And so therefore, if we ever get down and become like those slaves and lie down again, there's resurrection hope in us. And so we call out and we cry out and we cry, Abba, Father. We're going to read it in just a moment. And he causes us to rise again. And so if we're here this morning, we're feeling down and we're like, yeah, I love what you're saying, but I cannot get this into me. I keep getting down. Know this, there's resurrection power in you to raise you back up again, to raise you up from the dead. Resurrection power. Jesus only needed to do it once. God only needed to do it once to Jesus, and he was risen from the dead. But for us as human beings, I think it needs to happen an awful lot more often, which is a bit of a shame. But there's resurrection power in us to bring us back up, to raise us up again, to remind us who we are again, to resurrect us again, to remind us that we're no longer slaves, but we're sons and daughters of Jesus. This is what it says in Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Are we led by the Spirit of God? If we're Christians, then we should be. If we're Christians, then we are. If we're led by the Spirit of God, then we are the children of God. Now, if you're a child of God, you are no longer a slave. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You see, God has done something absolutely amazing. He hasn't just said, come join my gang. He hasn't just said, come be one of my guys. He's actually adopted you right into the family. He's adopted you right into the family. And if you want to think about it this morning, the papers have been signed. The adoption process has been completed. There's just no way to go back in that adoption process because he will not void it. He will not unsign it. He will not cancel it out. So we have been absolutely transformed. We have went from over here as slaves and we have been adopted. We weren't just invited. We weren't just asked to come and join God's gang or whatever like that. We have actually been physically adopted in. And whenever you've been physically adopted in, you read on and you see it, you become joint heirs. You receive an inheritance. Automatically, you have an inheritance. And this is what I love about inheritance, because your family could work all of their lives. And just because you're a son or a daughter of a dad or a mom, it means you get everything that they have. It's just the way inheritance works. You didn't achieve it. You didn't, maybe in some cases you don't even deserve it. You didn't work for it. You didn't have to do long hours for it. They did, but you received the whole inheritance because they have decided you're a son and a daughter and they're passing it down to you. God is here this morning. He wants you to know this. You're no longer a slave. So everything you have need of comes from above. Everything you have need of is inside of us because the kingdom is all around us. And God is here this morning to remind you that you are not disqualified. You're qualified because I have adopted you into me. You are no longer a slave, but you're a son and a daughter of the Most High. This will transform and change us. And look at to the level of which God says we can address him. He says, now because we've been adopted to sonship, and by him we can cry, Abba, Father. There is no more intimate a way to refer to a father than a dad. To be able to call a person that you belong to a father. To be able to address them like that. And God, the God of the universe who created everything that we see, says when you're adopted into my kingdom, you no longer have to address me as God alone or Lord alone or Jesus alone. But you can actually refer to me as Father. You can actually come to me as Abba, Father, or Daddy. Whatever way you want to translate it. But you can come to me in that level of intimacy. Do you not think that if God is saying that we can address him like that we mean a lot to him? Do you not think this morning if he says that we can address him like that we are not sons and daughters, that we are no longer slaves? He absolutely, truly means it. And if we read on, he backs it up because we always say, well, if you want to back it up, then put your wallet there. You know, give us some money to prove it. And this is what God says. Now, if we are the children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. He even makes us co-heirs with Christ, co-heirs with Jesus. After all that he's done, we're co-heirs with him. Guys, we need to realize we are no longer slaves. We are children of God, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. See, we are joint heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ. But God even drops it in there to remind us that even when the troubles come, even when the sufferings come, don't allow that to dismay you and make you feel like you're a slave again. Oh, it was only a joke. It was all just a fix. It was all just a cover-up. I was never truly adopted. Because that's what the devil wants to remind us of. But God's saying, no, no, no. You might share in some sufferings, but you'll also share in my glory. You will share in good things. God is good, and he is for you and not against you. We are sons and daughters. And so we spent a bit of time thinking about what a slave means to get to this point so we could remind you what a son means. You see, if you're a son, it means you have a dad. If you're a slave, there's no one above you. You've just got a master. You don't have a dad. If you're a slave, you do not have a dad. You have a master, and he decides what you do. If you have a dad, he's encouraging you to do things. He's loving you to do things. He's giving you advice. He's there if you need him. He's saying, hey, I'll help you. I'll do this. I'll do that. A dad loves you. A dad is for you. Your dad is there. If we're sons, we have a dad. If we're daughters, we have a dad. If you're a son or a daughter, then guess what? A slave never has this. You suddenly have protection. Your dad will protect you at all costs. Your dad will protect you at all costs if you're a son or a daughter. He will do anything to protect you. Because if we think even in the earthly context, and a dad or a mom, your parents would do anything to protect you. They would do anything to protect you from having to go through something. They would say, hey, if it came down to it, kill me instead. You see it in the movies, you read it in the books. I mean, our parents, they're there for you because they love you as a son and daughter, because you are a son and a daughter, and you mean so much to them. As a slave, you're not that. If you're a slave, then he's there for you. Your dad is always there for you. As a slave, no one's there for you. It's free for all. It's just you against the world. If you're a son, then we're made worthy. If we're a son, we're worthy because of what Christ has done. We have value. If you're a slave, you have no value. You are worth nothing. Even if you're traded, they'll pay a small price for you, but not the true value. They're not going to pay the true value because we are priceless. That's what God says. We're priceless. No man could afford us. We're absolutely priceless because we are made by God and we're made in his image. If you're a son and a daughter this morning, then you're worthy and he provides for you. He loves you and he's so pleased with you. You know, it's so important to know this. If you're a slave, the master's never pleased with you. You can never work hard enough. You can never do enough. You can never achieve enough. You can never go through enough. You can never, get through enough battles enough. You can never make enough things if it's about making. You can never achieve enough. With God, he says, before you do anything, I'm already pleased with you. I'm already pleased with you. I mean, we know it. The beginning of the Gospels, Jesus comes and he meets John the Baptist. He gets baptized in water and then God appears. The Holy Spirit comes to him on a dove and he says, I am well pleased with him. But here's my beloved son. I'm well pleased with him. And this morning we need to know when we're not feeling like God's well pleased with us, we're trying to take up the reins of slavery instead of taking up the beauty of sonship. Instead of taking up the beauty of being a daughter and being a son of God. Because God says, before you do anything, I am well pleased with you. Because that's the way our Father responds. That's the way our Heavenly Father looks at us. He is well pleased with us. And so finally, I'm going to finish up. But I think this morning, God is saying to us, we need to know him as Abba Father. We need to know him as just that Father. We need to leave off the chains of slavery. We need to leave off the ways that we've maybe been feeling in the past. And we need to take up that we're sons and daughters of God. And so I want us to close your eyes for just a moment. Could we do that? Close your eyes for just a moment. I want us to think for just a moment, what are the things, because I really felt this burn in my heart, what are the things that are keeping us chained? What are the things that are trying to keep us trapped? It's almost like if you get a picture in your mind for just a moment, it's almost like, what's the best way to describe it? It's almost having freedom. It's almost being told there's all the freedom you have. You've got a house, you've got a space to run around in. But then as soon as you try to go any further than your front garden, you realize there's just something attached to your leg and you can't get any further. I feel like God is saying this morning is that there's sons and daughters here, but for whatever reason, they feel like they've got freedom in their home and freedom in their own space, but it's like when they try to do anything extra, when they try to go any further, when they try to do anything else, it's almost like there's a tie on their legs, there's a chain on their ankle, and they just can't get any further. But God is here this morning, he's saying, I've come and I've already broken every chain, but I want to break every chain that's on your life. God has set us free, and he set us free for freedom. He has set us free for freedom. We are meant to live in freedom, not in bondage. And so this morning, what are the chains that are trying to hold us? What are the lies that we have been believing? What are the actions that we have carried out that we know are no good? Whenever we do sin, we become slaves to sin, and the wages of sin are death. But in God, we have eternal life. If we are in God, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free men and women. God, this morning, will you pinpoint some of the areas in our lives that the devil is trying to enslave us in? Some of the areas in our lives, maybe it's thoughts, maybe it's actions, maybe it's emotions, maybe it's feelings, whatever it is, Lord, that's causing us to think as a slave again. And Lord, in this moment, will you break those chains off and set us free? In these moments, Lord, will you set us free, Lord? Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to encourage you to do one thing. As the scripture said earlier, if we will believe. And so this morning as we're praying, it's not about us believing what we can do. It's believing in what he's already done. It's believing in Jesus. And so maybe this morning we just need to remind ourselves of what God already says. If we believe in him, we're new creations. If we believe in him, we're no longer slaves. If we believe in him, I'm no longer a slave to any, I have no longer slavery in any area of my life. And so maybe this morning we need to speak that. Maybe this morning we need to say that. And guys, we're going to sing Break Every Chain in just a moment, but I want us to think that. I want us to say that in our hearts even now. I believe in God. I believe in everything he has done for me. I believe that he has set me free to be a son and a daughter. I believe that he set me free not to be a slave, but to be a son and to be a daughter in every aspect, in every area of my life.